This is the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, episode 71.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week, we talked to Justin from EmpireFlippers.com. Now, this guy has built a bunch of niche websites, and he's going to tell us the truth, concluding our series on whether or not it's possible to actually build niche websites successfully. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night.
Now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Okay, so for those of you that have not heard, the Late Night Internet Marketing Minute has launched. And what it needs more than anything else in the whole wide world is subscribes and listens in iTunes. It's a short format podcast. I talked a little bit about it on the show before, and it's targeted at giving you that little bitty frequently asked question answer and other kinds of information like that once a week. So head on over to latenightim.com/minute. That'll take you to the iTunes page, and you know what to do from there. Subscribe, give it a listen, give it a 5-star rating if you love it. I just really appreciate that. If you guys could do me a solid and head over there. The reason I want that is because that gets me in higher up in new and notable in iTunes, gets me more exposure, helps me get the podcast launched. So anything you can do for me there, very, very much appreciated. Thank you so much for all you guys do.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
All right. And I'm really fired up to have Justin on the show. You know, Justin and Joe over at AdSenseFlippers.com, they rebranded that recently to EmpireFlippers.com, agreed to come on the show and talk about his successes and failures in building niche websites. Now, this guy has built hundreds, if not thousands, of niche websites. And their business model is they turn them and flip them. They also offer niche website services over at EmpireFlippers.com. And on top of that, Justin's just super cool. He lives down in the Philippines, knows a ton about outsourcing. I mean, this guy is a great guy to have on our show. So without further ado, let's get into it with Justin.
All right. So I am really excited to be on the phone. You know, it's late night internet marketing and it's getting close to midnight in Dallas, but it's in the middle of the day in the Philippines. And I've caught Justin from Empire Flippers. He's been kind enough to come on the show. And we're going to talk a little niche site action with Justin. Justin, how's it going over in the Philippines?
Good, buddy. Yeah, you're right. It's 1:11 p.m. here. I know it's midnight for you. It's going good, though, man. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you coming on. You know, it's late night internet marketing is the brand here. So we're all good with midnight. No problem. So you survived the hurricane. It's all good over there. I think it missed you completely, right?
Yeah, man. Davao or Mindanao in general was okay. There were some really hard hit areas in the middle or in the Samar area and then the Cebu area. But finally, the relief efforts are starting to pay off and things are getting somewhat back to normal for some people.
Well, that's really good to hear. I know that that was devastating in some parts of the Philippines. I'm glad you guys came out unscathed. I wanted to have you on the show today because, you know, you represent a lot of the things that I talk about on the show. A lot of times I get this question about, can you really make money on the internet? Is it too late to get started? Can you still make money with niche sites? I think you're aware we've been doing some experimenting with Andrew Hansen's Forever Affiliate stuff. I had an episode about that recently. And I know that, you know, you and Joe at Empire Flippers, you guys talk a lot about giving away free information, you don't really make, I know you have some service businesses, but you don't really make your money first and foremost by teaching internet marketing. You make money doing internet marketing, and then you tell people about what you're doing. And so you're kind of exactly the kind of stuff that you were talking about here. And I thought you might be willing to share some of your experiences, because I know you guys are, 2013 was a banner year for you, right? You're hardcore into six figures. And I think you published that you guys broke the $500,000 revenue barrier this year. Is that right?
Yeah, man. That was really exciting for us. We're hoping for even more growth next year. So, you know, we start off kind of like you. We have our day jobs, right? Our day jobs are running an outsourcing company here in the Philippines. And that's kind of what we started off doing. We you know, outsourced ourselves from a company that we both worked at. We were middle managers, outsourced ourselves to the Philippines and set up a company that serviced our previous employer. So that was kind of how we were making our money. And then when they started to cut back on us, we had all these agents and employees that were still on board. We had nothing to do with them. So we started looking for things. We ended up building these small niche sites and, you know, started making those profitable. And we started off, I think our first month, we spent a couple grand and lots of time, made like $30. And it we're like a little disheartened by that. But it started to kick up, you know, 4 or 5 months in. We started to make a fair amount of money. And, you know, we were investing more money into it. We weren't break even yet. We said, you know, a great way to do that would be to sell some of the sites off, realize that cash up front, and then reinvest it into the business to scale it out and grow it faster or bigger. So we started selling sites, realizing that profit that we wouldn't have seen for another 15, 20 months, realizing it now, and then reinvesting that to build more and more sites. And that's kind of how we got our start. We're you know, basically building out these profitable sites and then selling them off to people.
But let me hit on one point that you mentioned there. You kind of flew by, was it took a minute to get going, right? I mean, it wasn't like you put up a niche site and 3 days later you were making money. I mean, it sounds like it took you guys a couple of months or the better part of half a year to really get things figured out. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. Probably 5 months or so until we started to get profitable. I think we were total in around $10,000 of investment and lots of hours of time, and probably about 5 months. And then we started to turn the corner a bit. We started realizing that cash and then reinvesting that cash back into the business. But yeah, it definitely wasn't immediate. We started our blog, which at the time was AdSenseFlippers.com, and we started just kind of talking about what we were doing. And we didn't care, because this wasn't our main business, right? We still had our outsourcing company paying the bills and kind of, you know, our day job, so to speak. So this was just kind of a fun project for us. So we figured, well, I don't care. Like, we'll just tell everyone exactly what we're doing, how we're doing it, and, you know, hopefully they get some value out of it. And so it was that not caring about it and not being so, you know, uptight about hiding our secrets, I think, that really resonated with people, because they were like, wow, these guys are doing it. They're not selling me information about it, and they're giving it all to me for free. That's different. That's different than what people are used to.
Yeah, I think it also changes the equation a little bit when you're not in the situation where you're having to pay your own light bill with the profits from the stuff that you're doing as well, because you're not highly motivated to extract money from readers, right?
Yeah, I think that's a weakness that a lot of people in IM fall into, or they're stuck with, is that they're like, I have to have this paid for, you know, my rent or whatever. So they end up like monetizing, they end up short-sighted in their monetization strategy. So they, you know, they just got their podcast or their YouTube channel going, and they try and, you know, start pushing products through it. And well, it, you know, they think that's the way the game is played. And, you know, I think, you know, if you can hold off, if you can, you know, provide more value and be less, you know, salesy, people are going to dig that better today.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I mean, you and I have so much in common, because that's kind of the same way that I roll. As you know, I've got a day job that I like very much. And so I do this because it's fun, and I get to talk to people like you, which is really cool. So you talked about, you know, you guys started out building niche sites, and I know you've built, I mean, I remember back during the AdSense Flippers days, when you would list those sites on your site for sale, you were kind of running a mini version of Flippa, sort of, where you would, you know, sell these sites, and you guys were cranking them out. Can you describe what this typical niche site looked like for your guys? What's the anatomy of a niche site back in that time frame for you guys?
Yeah, so we were building small niche sites. They were around things like, and I'm just making this up, but like blue ski boots, right? And so we would build a site on something really small, really niche. And it normally have 5 pages of content. It would have a privacy policy page, a contact us page, that kind of thing. These are really small, basic sites. We start off sourcing content from places like Fiverr, and then we end up going with HireWriters.com and some other ones, iWriter and that kind of thing. And we had a small team of people here, content managers, that would manage that. So every piece in our process was broken down into keyword research. So we had people looking for keywords. Joe and I would pick the keywords we thought were winners based on our criteria. We'd then hand that over to the site setup team, and then we get this, WordPress on it and everything. Then the content management team would take over and add the content. So we basically set up a human machine or assembly line type process for building out these niche sites, and we were building a lot of them actually with our team in place.
And you were counting on organic traffic for these sites, I guess. And what were you doing to get rankings back in that time? And what was the time frame here? Was this 4 years ago, probably?
No, not that long ago. It seems that long ago, but no, this is probably 2010. December 2010 was when we got started. So 2011 into 2012, we were building out these small niche sites, hardcore. Yeah. And then we were also doing some link building. So we started off with forum profiles and stuff, just some kind of not great links. And then we used, a company called Build My Rank. And we found a ton of success with that. Unfortunately, they got crushed along with some of the sites that we had building links with Build My Rank got crushed as well. So we took a huge hit with link building. Actually, one of our main sites, our outsourcing company, we'd built some links to as well, TryBPO, and that got crushed too. So yeah, that was a pretty painful experience. And shortly after that, we decided to dump all link building. We said, we're targeting these small niche keywords that are profitable, but slightly so. And we're talking $8 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month winners, right? Those are winners for us. So we're not going after really hardcore stuff, lawyers in Los Angeles or anything, nothing crazy like that. So these small niche sites were able to rank on their own.
Small websites were able to rank on their own. Sorry, I was making a joke that you weren't going after credit cards for free, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, really difficult stuff. So we didn't have to build some of the links that we would if we were going after more aggressive niches. So we just stopped it all together. And we noticed our sites weren't ranking as well, but overall they were earning enough because they were still coming in through like long tail key phrases. We were still getting ranked in images and that kind of thing. So yeah, cutting out the link building, I think, cost us a bit, but totally worth it because it makes the sites a lot less risky.
This strategy revolved around, at the time, mostly monetization with AdSense?
Yeah, we were building out AdSense sites specifically. I know that some of the people that were buying our sites were then turning them into affiliate sites or Amazon sites, for example, if they were product-based. But yeah, we were just building them out with AdSense. It was the easiest thing for us to do with our process. So instead of having to do like full on, detailed product reviews and that kind of thing, it was more just content based, and that content was able to get us ranked and earnings, that kind of thing.
So fast forward to today. So you grew that business. It's changed a little bit over time, I'm sure, and you're still building sites and you're still flipping them. Is that right?
Yeah, so earlier in this year, in 2013, in March, I think we changed branding. We went from AdSense Flippers to Empire Flippers. And the reason for that was, we started realizing that we've talked about all we can with niche AdSense sites. That was about it. And I think a lot of people that were trying to either recreate our type of business were missing the bigger picture. They were thinking, I can just build small niche sites and then sell them and have a business. So we actually did a podcast episode called Niche Sites Are Not a Business, where we kind of documented like what we're really doing, like the real business behind where we're taking this. And we started getting a lot of requests for people that wanted access to our people for keyword research or for content or whatever. And we kept denying them. We were like, no, because it was insular. It was all internal people and process. And we kept getting those requests and we kept putting them off. And finally, we're like, maybe that's not a good idea. If our customers are giving us feedback and saying, this is what we want, maybe we should find out a way to deliver that. So with the launch of Empire Flippers, we opened up each of our modular, process-based pieces and allowed people to order, for example, keyword research or content or site setup. We also started to allow other people to sell their sites with us on our marketplace. So no longer were it just our sites that we were selling. We were now allowing other people to sell their sites. And in 2013, we really crushed it with the $3,000 to $20,000 site sales. So we had a lot of those listed and did really well. And I think in 2014, we'll be looking more to the $10,000 to $100,000 area. So I think that'll be a big opportunity for us in terms of brokering. You have sites like Flippa that don't do that well. I mean, I think they do starter sites really well. And then there are some really high-end brokers like Quick Light Brokerage and Flipping Enterprise that do, the $100,000, $200,000-plus really well. But there seems like a real gap in the $10,000, $100,000 site space, and that's what we're really going to go after.
So tell me now, are you still building sites on your own with your own machine for flipping, or have you totally gone over to providing services and this site brokerage business?
No, we're still building our own sites, smaller 5-page sites. Just recently, last couple of months ago, we started building out 50-page sites. So Joe, my business partner, is running a test using expired domains based on John Haver's process on authoritywebsiteincome.com.
Right.
So we've been testing doing the expired domain stuff, and we don't have the results in on that. So we're still, it'll probably be February or March before we have a good idea on whether that's profitable or more profitable than the niche sites. If not, then we'll just continue doing the five site stuff. We did an authority site test maybe a year and a half ago, and it failed miserably. I tried two sites, and I built links with BMR and some other probably not so good things. It was an expired domain used from a broker that may have been tainted, and it failed horribly. So we were a bit gun shy, but we're going back to that now to see if we can make it more profitable than the 5-page site. So if we're spending $500 creating the site, can we get up to $100 a month? And can we do that within a few months, 3 or 4 months? And that would be a good win for us.
So one of the things that makes me nervous about expired domains is it's hard for me to get good visibility on what the actual, two things, on what the actual backlink profile is and whether or not the site's ever been manually reviewed by Google or slapped in some way. I mean, it's just very hard to give visibility to that. Or have you guys got some thinking about what a good expired, what criteria there are for buying expired domains?
This is more Joe's area, but I can speak to it briefly. I know he looks at SEO Moz. I know he looks at Majestic SEO and looks at the backlink profile. I think he tries to take sites that were not, don't look like they were, spammy type sites beforehand. How exactly does that? I'm not exactly sure, but yeah. He has the process for that. And I know he's talked to John quite a bit about it. They've been working together over the last couple of months.
If 95% of the links are from Russian adult sites, that's probably a leading indicator that you shouldn't buy it, huh?
Yeah, that's, we've also, not using expired domains, but just picking up domains that have expired on GoDaddy, we've sometimes built sites on domains that had some sketchy link profiles. It doesn't happen that often, but every once in a while we'll get one and we're like, oh, wow, we didn't, because, we thought we're buying it fresh and clean, and it wasn't. So, yeah, that happens.
Yeah. We've all done that. Yeah. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So from the perspective of people that are listening to this podcast, you look like this guy with, you and Joe have this massive machine set up, outsourcers and a formula and multiple product lines with experience in business in the Philippines. Now, somebody who's listening to this podcast, maybe they're just wanting to try and go down the niche site road. They're trying to figure out what to do in IM, how to get started, whether or not it still makes sense to start. Can you start with a handful of sites? What do you say to those people who come to you, Justin, and they say, man, I really admire what you guys are doing, but you're at step 47. I'm down here at step 1. what do you say to those guys?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned this, Mark. I saw someone mention something about us online a while back, and they said, you know, guys like Empire Flippers, it seems like, you know, they've got it all figured out and they've got all this stuff going on. I'm thinking to myself, like, Joe and I really are just a couple of donkeys. We get our team together here in Davao together. We have dinner. I mean, it's not like this crazy, amazing team we've built out and we're you know, making millions of dollars. No, I mean, we're still hustling. I think we're trying to up our game, and we're doing a pretty good job of that over the last 6 months, but we're doing our best, but we're still trying to break through ourselves. But getting back to it, for someone just starting out, we did a podcast episode, like kind of breaking down the advantages and disadvantages of three different ways to build sites. One of them would be, you know, small niche sites, very similar to what we're doing, 5-10 page sites. And we talk about the advantages, disadvantages. There's kind of like the middle range, which is more the Spencer from Niche Pursuits approach. He does a lot of Amazon stuff right now, but he also does AdSense. So we're talking more like 50-page sites. And then you've got the Pat Flynn approach with you know, sites like Security Guard Training and the Food Trucker site, where it's hardcore podcasts and hardcore branding, reaching out to people, potential customers in your niche, interviewing them. All three have their merits, and there are some downsides too. But you know, it's really going to depend on kind of where you see yourself. Where do you want to head? I don't recommend Pat's approach for your first site. I think that might be a little aggressive, and if it fails, it may turn you off from the idea completely. I definitely recommend starting out with something like our approach or Spencer's, where you build smaller sites and kind of test the waters. You're going to screw up. The first couple of sites you build, they're just going to be screwed up. You're going to do horrible keyword research. You're going to go after niches that you shouldn't have done. That's why I think building smaller sites that can get you a return quicker, even if it's not, you know, wildly profitable or successful, just to get a few dollars coming in, where you're like, okay, I see how this works. And then you can pick the direction you want. If you want to build out 100 of those small sites, do that. If you want to build out, you know, 40 of sites closer to Spencer's process, do that. If you want to build out 3 or 4 sites like Pat, then do that. But you at least now you have the fundamentals, the keyword research, site setup, content strategies that you need to do either of those or any of those three approaches long term. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. So that's the easy question. And by the way, I completely agree with your thinking on this idea that you can go very thin and broad. You can have this nice middle ground where you've got something that's, you know, really a good resource, but is not off the hook. And then you can go off the hook like Pat does with Security Guard Training, and all of those are valid and have their place. My question is, and you know, you and I talked a little bit about this over email, you know, that it recently on my show, I've been talking with people and about people who give this a try and they fail. And they come out and they buy a product, a good product. Sometimes it's a product that I've recommended, and they try, they build these sites and they're not successful. And I know that you're touching a lot of people with the same kind of message that, you know, this can be done. And I know you see a success rate out there that's less than probably you would like to see. I've done surveys that suggests the success rate for this kind of stuff is lower than it should be. And I've done follow up on affiliate product sales where I've gone back to the people that I sold affiliate products to and asked them what their experience was, and they didn't make money. And so my question to you is, what do you think about that? What do you think the failure rate is for the people that you touch with your show and your website, and why?
Well, first off, Mark, kudos to you for reaching out to people and trying to get like an understanding of how well they're doing so that you can know whether or not to recommend that product in the future. I know as an affiliate marketer, there's so many that don't do that at all. So the fact that you're doing that is interesting. I think the failure rates is awfully high across the board. And I think it's high for us. I think it's high for probably even higher for others, but it's high either way. And I think part of the problem is that, and well-intentioned people do this, but they have, you know, the idea, or it looks like there may be a blueprint for success. Like, follow this process and it will work. And there's just nothing like that. That's just not, it doesn't exist. So anyone selling you a blueprint, I mean, I think that people get sucked into that and think, okay, well, I can make this work for me. And we always recommend to people, and I think the people that are selling it or even giving it away for free like we are, you know, are still well-intentioned in that they say, look, it did work for me, but maybe we had skills that you didn't, right? Like maybe we're able to build teams and process better than you are, so yours suck and don't do as well. And so you can't just say that, oh, if I just follow this blueprint, I'll be successful. I think what you should do is try and take the bits that did work and basically create your own process out of it. So I found that, you know, the keyword research did work for me, but I need a new traffic strategy. So you go after that. I think it's false to say that this is the way that's going to work for everyone. And people do that because it did work for them, but it doesn't mean that everyone will get the same value. Also, I think a lot of people approach online businesses differently than they would approach an offline business. They want to spend zero money. I'm not talking about info courses or anything like that. They want to invest no money and have a profitable company, you know, within 2 or 3 months. And I think that's just, it's unrealistic for any type of business. Online just happens to be one way to market your business, but it doesn't have to be online. Your business should stand and stand as a legitimate business, whether it is online or offline, and use different channels to get there. So I think that's part of the problem is that, you know, it's being sold as a blueprint or it's being bought up thinking it's a blueprint and, you know, without any investment in time or money required. And that's just always, almost always, all the situations I know of people being successful, that wasn't the case. So,
you know, it's interesting to hear you say this because I don't know how many niche sites you guys have built. Do you have an estimate?
A couple thousand, maybe 2,500, 3,000 sites total.
So, I mean, what I'm hearing you saying, Justin, is that you've got a toolkit of stuff that works at least most of the time, but even after thousands of niche sites and all that experience and all that data, you're saying that even you guys don't have this foolproof blueprint that works absolutely every time, no matter what.
Yeah, we absolutely don't. We have a failure rate on our sites, and we've tried to fix that. We tried to improve our keyword research, and I think our changes have kept us ahead of Google updates. We've gotten hit before by Google updates, but it's helped keep us kind of current. But it hasn't gotten significantly better. Like, we still have sites that fail, and we just don't know why. So, you know, whenever someone's talking about building out niche sites, especially using our process, we say 5 sites, 8 sites isn't enough. You need to build 20, 25 to get, like, a good look on it. But, yeah, we definitely still fail. And the truth is that there's no guarantee that following our process will necessarily work for you. You may spend too much on your outsourcing. You may have a VA that runs off on you. You may have there's any number of failure points that could happen. I think the best thing to do is to find things that do work, and hopefully that'll work for you. But yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee that it's going to work for you for sure.
So along those lines,
I know that's not a very good selling point. Hey, check out our stuff because it may not work for you. But I mean, that's really the truth. And I think anyone who tells you differently says, oh, this is absolutely going to work for you. It's worked for 90% of the people that have done it. You got to question that, right? It just doesn't ring true for me and for the people that I know that have been successful.
Well, I mean, you know, it's real, right? And so that's what this whole show tries to be about, is keeping things real. And so, yeah, I'm the first guy to get frustrated by these crazy sales letters that, you know, promise instant success. And, you know, one of the things that it goes to, and it's one of the things that I wanted to get your take on, is one of the key differences that I see between people that are successful in internet marketing, whatever flavor it is that they're in, and people that have less success, is this idea of personal responsibility. People taking responsibility for their own stuff, taking responsibility for the outcomes that they get, taking responsibility for their failures. And I know that's a topic of interest to you. Do you have some comment about how important that is or what you've seen there?
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, because I think a lot of the sharks in internet marketing use that to blame the people that they sold the blueprint to and say, you didn't build it out right, or you didn't follow it correctly, or you didn't stick with it long enough. And And so it's tough. But you're right, though. There is personal responsibility. And you hear from a lot of people that did fail. They said, oh, you know, I followed this person and they led me astray. Or I've been listening to them and, you know, I haven't made any money. And so, you know, that's obviously a weak sauce position to take. Well, I followed them and I didn't make any money. Well, following people doesn't make you money. So I don't know. Right? I mean, it's this tough thing. So you have, on the one hand, you have the sharks blaming them, but then there is some blame that goes on the person that's trying it out and isn't finding success. So I'm not really sure how you balance that. I think telling people how it really is and that, you know, it may not work for you. And there are some people that probably just shouldn't be doing it, right? I think it can work for lots of people. There are some people, if you've been in IM and diligently working at it for 2 or 3 years, and you haven't made any, you spent way more than you've made, and you've tried all these different things, and you're legitimately not blaming anyone, but you just can't see how it works. Maybe you just shouldn't have a business, right? Maybe you should just keep a job. There, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So, I don't know. I mean, this is not for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and it's funny. You know, I just listened to Pat Flynn's interview with Gary Vaynerchuk. And one of the things that stuck with me in that interview was Gary said, when you do an interview, or you have a piece of content, you should find the quotable quote and you should share that on social media out of that interview. And the quotable quote out of this interview, Justin, is following people does not make you money. That is the most awesome thing I've ever heard anybody say. You got to take so responsibility cool, for your own stuff. Very good.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely true. And I think not enough people do. And they look for other people to blame. And I think successful people that I know, to a fault, look for things in themselves to blame. Even when something, some third party thing does cause them problems, they go, "Ugh, what did I screw up to allow that to happen to me?" Right. So like I just took a hit on whatever and our business took a 30% hit. I don't blame whatever caused that hit. I look at how I didn't set it up properly to avoid that hit. And I think that's a critical difference that, you know, entrepreneurs make versus, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs.
Well, you know, and it's good business. You know, I'm involved in electronics manufacturing in my day job. And when something screws up, we look at what we could have done to prevent it, what we can do to keep it from ever happening again. And we put that in our processes. I mean, that's just good business. And that's, you know, that's taking responsibility for your stuff, right? I mean, that's what you got to do. So
Mark, when are you going to quit your job, man? What's the deal with that? When are you quit the job and go full time?
You know, it's a really good question. And, you know, I would never want my employer to think I didn't absolutely love my job, which I do. And it's funny because people at my workplace listen to this show. So, you know,
I'm beating you up in front of your coworkers and bosses, man. But yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because I know that you love to do what you're doing. But I know you love your job too. So it's one of those weird dichotomies, but think how much more you could give to it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a struggle, man. And I don't know, but I promise you when that day comes, the world will know. It will not be a secret.
Well, I know you. I mean, you're going to, and anyone else considering quitting their job or going full time online should do the same thing. Give plenty of notice. In fact, help to find, hire and train your replacement. Like, leave it great for your employer so that your coworkers, you may do business with them again in the future. Your bosses, you may be able to come back to them and work out a deal. They may be a great customer or partner with you in the future. So, yeah, you never know how that's going to work out. So you definitely don't want to burn any bridges, especially when you're leaving your job. I guess if you worked at, you know, Walmart or KFC or something, you're not going to be partners there. But you know what I mean. Like for most small to medium-sized businesses, there may be opportunity there in the future that you just don't see today.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, in my particular case, it's complicated because I've been with my employer almost 25 years and they're just awesome. And I love to go there every day because the people are great. So it's a very complicated thing, but, I dig the late night internet marketing aspect of this. And besides, if I did this all day long during the daylight, I'd have to rebrand because it wouldn't be late night internet marketing anymore.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. Rebranding's kind of a bear, man. So I wouldn't envy you.
Yeah, I've been there and done it. I know. So look, Justin, I appreciate your time here. I've got two more simple questions for you. One is, What's your advice to the new internet marketer who's just, you know, stumbling onto the show, is trying to get their bearings, they want to build something that lasts? What's your advice? And then after that, I want you to tell people a little bit more about how they can reach out to you and Joe and hook into your stuff, because I think your stuff is really good, and I think my listeners would benefit from the stuff that you guys are putting out there.
You know, for someone just starting out, you know, and I do this a bit, I beat up paid courses somewhat, and that's not exactly true. There are some paid courses out there that I think do have some value. But starting off, there's so many sketchy paid courses that you might want to avoid it. And there's plenty of free information out there that I think can help you. I mean, checking out nichepursuits.com, smartpassiveincome.com, tropicalmba.com. Those are all great resources that I read regularly. You can check out our guide, Building a Niche Site Empire, which will walk you step by step exactly how we build out these niche sites. And whether you think our process will work for you, whether you dig that approach or not, you're definitely going to learn the fundamentals that come with keyword research, with setting up your site on WordPress, figuring out WordPress, how to order content. All these things are things you're going to need no matter what type of websites or online presence you're going to build. So there's value and it's free. You can check that out. You can check us out on empireflippers.com. We also have a podcast, the Empire Flippers podcast, for about 70 something episodes in. Or on Twitter at Empire Flippers.
Dude, I really appreciate your time. And I think I mentioned this to you before. Sometime in 2014, I'm at least theoretically coming to the Philippines. Maybe actually in first quarter. When that happens, I'm going to come check you out, and maybe we can throw down a beer or whatever cold drink we can find.
Done, buddy. San Miguel lights on ice by the beach. Ready to do it. I'll see you out there.
Thank you very much. And I'll be in touch, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care. All right. Well, that wraps it up for today. Really enjoyed having Justin on the show. He is awesome. Lots of good insight for him. Remember, these sites don't always work, but clearly he's getting enough of them to work to make a business, and a great business it is. Very excited to hear from him. Can't wait to talk to you guys in the coming weeks. As you know, I'm heavily involved in Rankings Institute with Andrew Hansen, and I am building some sites along with the people in the course. For those of you that were with me in Forever Affiliate, they are my Forever Affiliate sites, so I'm finally got the focus back on that. I've niched down to three of those sites. One of the sites is the site that I told you about for the Niche Site Duel, the pedometer related site, and related to the Fitbit. And then another site is in the pet niche, very interesting site. You'll laugh when you find out what it is someday. And then the third site, I'm not quite sure exactly what that's going to be yet, but I think it's going to be a medical related site, an ailment cure related site, a real legitimate thing where, you know, people have a certain kind of ailment and they go searching online for a cure. And there's a ClickBank product out there that I really believe in for this particular ailment. So I'm going to try and promote that. So there you go. There's those three sites in the health niche, the pet niche, and the fitness niche. And I'll be talking to you about those. Now, the Rankings Institute site, as the name implies, is about rankings. That's what these sites need. They have never really generated any revenue, although I've had content on them for a while. So we're going to see if we can get them to rank. And I'll be reporting those results here on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Joe was in some kind of crazy, UFC fight or something over there. And I see some picture of him with like street fighting gloves on.
Yeah, man, that was insane. So it started off with like just him and another buddy of ours, and they were talking about doing, you know, kind of doing maybe a month of training or something, and then doing a fun little boxing event at one of the gyms. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they start looking into it, and they're like, we can rent out like a full on, like, you know, gym with like 3,000 seats, and here's the cost, and maybe we can get sponsors. And then all of a sudden we're on the radio. We got a billboard for it. It's like a whole on event, dude. It was insane. We had like 10 matches or so. And Joe and our buddy Daniel were the main event there, the last fight. We probably had, I was inflate this number, but realistically by the main fight, main event, we had like maybe 1,000 people there. And, you know, it was free seating in the bleachers and then paid to be ringside. And then we had sponsors and stuff too. And we didn't actually make the money back, but then we just took some additional money and donated it to some charities. It was originally going to be a charity event, but we didn't have enough money to pay the charity. So we just...
That's so awesome.
Oh, dude, it was insane. Like, it's one of the coolest things.
Can't pay for marketing like that.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.